You know what time it is. It's time for Rating the Nerd. With your hosts, Tim and Zach. Take it away, boys.
Welcome back to Grading the Nerd. This is the show where we talk about all kinds of shit. And we talk about if we think it's shit, or if we don't. So typically we fall into the latter, but occasionally, or typically I fall into the latter, but occasionally I agree with Zach on the former. So let's get into it. Zach, how are you doing, man?
Super. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Just unreasonably tired this morning. I'm not sure why.
Yeah, I hear you. Pretty tired myself, actually.
Yeah. So this will be riveting for everyone listening.
Yeah.
We just slowly drift off into oblivion. Yeah, I don't know why, man. I've just been like, the last few days, I've just been like worn out. And I'm like, I mean, it's not even like I've done anything thrilling or exhilarating or anything that's like, oh man, that would have sapped your energy. It's like, you know, I watched two TV shows and then I ate some pretzels. Oh, I better take a nap. It's ridiculous. So I don't know what's going on, man. And it's not even like I can blame it on the weather. The weather's been pretty good, except for the tornado that almost hit my house this week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That was kind of crazy.
That is crazy. What's crazy for me is I heard about it hitting that distribution center, but I didn't even connect it to being the same place that's like right next to your house.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was crazy. I started getting text messages from people I haven't talked to in years that were just like, I hope this is still your number and hope your family's safe. And I was like, that's really, you know, sometimes you think like nobody cares. And then you're just like, oh, that's cool that some people are thinking of me, you know, like when they see that. I mean, so a couple of text messages I got, I'm like, I didn't even know those people knew where I lived. Like that would be a little bit concerning potentially, but you know, like, you're just like, that went through your neighborhood. I'm like, how do you know? But no, everybody was very, very cool. So thank you for the well wishes. It's weird because I've never been quite that close to a tornado.
Yeah. Right?
Like I got home and like, it was weird because I was in the office that day. So I'm like driving home and I didn't really think much of it. You know, I'm just like driving and I hadn't really been listening to the weather or anything. And so it was where I go to get on the highway, there was an accident. So I was like, you know what? I'll just bring surface streets home today. I'll just take those home. And so when I got like just to the north edge of the town right below ours, like my phone starts blowing up. It's just like, warning, weather warning in your area. And I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. And so I get home and like my daughter was at her boyfriend's house, but who has a basement. So good on them. But my wife and son are in our bathroom and she's like, get in here. There's a tornado coming. And I was like, what? And so I start looking at the radar and I'm like, okay. And so then I said to her, I'm like, well, I'm going to walk outside real quick. Cause I'm like, if it was that really that close, like you'd be able to hear it. And so I walk outside and kind of stand in our driveway. Cause like the weather looked like clear, like it looked like a nice afternoon, you know? Mm-hmm. And stand in our driveway, and then I hear like this rumble of thunder, like kind of like the, but it didn't stop. Like it wasn't one, like it just kept going. And so I came back in, I was like, oh yeah, no, I can hear a tornado. Like, we need to get in the bathroom. And so then my wife was in the living room when I did that. So she poked her head out and was like, came running back in and was like, it's getting loud. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So we got in the bathroom and then our power went out, of course. And
oh geez. Like,
yeah. I was like, so that's then scary. Like, not only did the power go out though, but I don't know if a cell tower got damaged or what, but like I lost internet connection on my phone completely.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So then like, I was like, I couldn't check anything, you know, like, okay. And so we knew about the time frame from like the earlier reports. We kind of we waited through past that time frame, and then I went out. Like people in my neighborhood were kind of starting to walk out, and that's when somebody, my neighbor, was like, "The distribution center got hit." Him and his dad are good people. Like they were like, "We're gonna go out and see if everybody's okay." And so, you know, I tried to be a good person. So I poked my head back in. And I said, "Hey, the distribution center got hit. You guys going to go look at it? And my wife and son are like, sure. So
that's hilarious.
Yeah.
You guys want to go see the carnage?
Yeah, you want to go see if there's any body parts laying around? Hey, free wrist! but no, we went out, and a couple people, like, kind of the neighborhood over from us, like, their fences were torn down. And it cracks me up. I give my wife a hard time, but, like, she's just super interested in that kind of stuff, right? So she's like, I'll drive if you'll, like, snap photos. And I'm like, sure. And so, like, we pull up to, like, a stop sign, and there's, like, a destroyed fence and people standing there looking sad. And she's like, you're not taking a picture. I'm like, they're right there. Like, you want me to go, hey, get in the middle of all the carnage and frown at me. Want to get a good shot like I'm a journalist in war-torn Sarajevo. I was like, but they don't look sad enough. Should I throw something at them? She's like, you're an asshole. I'm like, yes, I am. I'm not taking a picture of these people's downed fence with them standing right there. Sorry. It was ridiculous, though. There was so much traffic. Everybody was out like, let's go look. And I mean, people are parking alongside the road because the distribution center is sort of like the outer edge of their grounds. They have like kind of like hills built up. I don't know if it's like for privacy sake or if it's a requirement to like try to reduce the noise or what, you know. But yeah. Like there were, I thought we were bad, like clogging traffic. There are people parking alongside the road and walking up to the top of the hills to like take pictures of the building. Jeez. I'm like, what are you doing? Which, of course, again, we try to be good people. So we were ruthlessly making fun of those people. You know? Like, let me get up there and see what I got to figure out. I'm on the case. You know, like, all right, guy, I'm sure your Samsung 22 camera picture is going to make the news tonight. You know, like, dipwad. Anyway, but yeah, no, it tore the distribution center up pretty fierce in one area, so kind of crazy, man. And my neighbor's wife actually saw the funnel cloud too, which was crazy. She was like, she was driving home, her granddaughter was with her, and her phone rings, and it's her granddaughter's father, and he was like, can I talk to your grandma real quick? And she's like, sure. And so he goes, you're not on speaker, are you? And she's like, no. And he's like, you need to turn around and drive back to whichever way you were coming, because there's a tornado running through your neighborhood. She was like, what? And then she said, like, right about then, she's like, this guy doesn't look bad. And she was getting close to our neighborhood at that point. And she looks up and just sees the funnel cloud form. And she was like, okay. And so she like just kept driving, like, you know, away from our area, and then called her husband and son and were like, hey, you get in the bathroom. I'm like, fortunately, no injuries, no deaths, as far as
that's
I
great.
Know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was like, that was pretty awesome that the distribution center, at least, that like people, I don't know people personally that work there, but we have friends. Actually, you know a guy too, whose dad works there, a guy we game with. And so they were like, kind of when it was starting to roll through and it looked like it might happen, they kind of were like, okay, everybody get away from the exterior parts of the building and kind of gather in the middle, you know? And so good on them, you know?
Yeah.
So crazy though. So other than that though, man, the weather's been nice here. A little rainy, but nice otherwise.
Yeah. Yeah, not too bad.
I don't know what to do with it living in Ohio.
It's about to change starting, I think, today, actually.
Yeah, it's supposed to get like it's powerful hot, right?
Yeah, it is. It's going to get muggy as hell. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to get gross.
Anyway, how about you, man? How's your week been?
Really, really busy. I got a lot of plates I'm spinning at work.
So, right on.
It's getting to be a bit much, but I mean, other than that, I'm trying to get some little odds and ends taken care of around the house, and I had a clogged sink in the basement, and it just would not drain, and I kept putting it off, and then like the other day, I was like, I'm just gonna start dealing with it, and
yeah,
all thankfully, like I know like plumbers don't like this, and like a lot of people probably don't like this, but like all of the plumbing that's attached to the sinks in my house is all plastic, and none of it is connected together permanently. They're all fitted together with these little tightenings, like they're like wing nuts.
Yeah.
It's you know, I'm sure it was somebody's half-assed attempt to try to do it themselves, but anytime I've ever had an issue with the sink, all I have to do is just take the elbow joint off and I can clean it out. Yeah. You know what I mean? Sure. And yep. It's really easy to take care of that kind of stuff. But I took it off and I took it outside and was trying to spray it out with the hose. And then I looked down inside of it and like the whole like bottom, like 2/3 of it all the way up to the top of the joint is just full of cement.
Oh shit.
And what? I was like, well, there's your problem.
Yeah. God damn.
I forgot that on Mother's Day, I snuck the kids down into the basement and we made one of those little heart-shaped pavers little, you know, like stained glass pieces in it and stuff like that. Yep. And the kids wrote a little message and everything. Well, we got some of the cement into the sink. And I didn't think anything about it. I was like, well, with enough water, it'll probably just, you know, break up and just go down the drain, right? Not so much. It all just collected in the joint until it was enough to start to turn into cement.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So, thankfully, I was able to get it out with a screwdriver. But
oh, nice. You were able to break it up.
Yeah, that's cool. I just pushed on one end and then it broke free and came out. Nice. It was just like a U-shaped piece of cement at that point.
That's so funny, though.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Golly.
That's been as exciting as my week has been.
Hey, man. Yeah. Anytime you can fix something at your house without having to call a professional, that's a win in my book, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, that's awesome. That's funny, though. Like, that'll probably wash down through there. I'm sure our drain exudes enough force to just push cement through. I'm the same way, though. Like, I that stuff like that will happen. I'll just be like, that'll probably be fine. Like, best of luck, future Tim.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, I don't know. Do you just want to get into it?
Yeah, let's get into it.
Okay, we're skipping. If you don't remember, if you're new to the channel, we usually give a bit of like news, but we're skipping that this week because Disney has made sure that we have to pull double duty to get to cover their shows. So we're going to be covering two shows this week instead of our normal one. And so we're just going to skip the news. Do you want to keep on keeping on with Obi-Wan, or do you want to dive into something new and then come back to the old faithful?
Yeah, let's talk about Obi-Wan for a bit.
All right, let's do it. Obi-Wan, what a Jedi. So what'd you think of this week's episode, man?
I love that in this telling of the Star Wars universe, like nobody has any sense of urgency.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like in every scene where something serious is happening, everyone's just walking.
Yeah.
Or just like walking. A fast paced mall jog, you know?
Yeah.
That's it.
At best, you get somebody moving like they have to use the restroom. Nobody is moving like they've got diarrhea, which is how this should be in most of these scenes.
Right. Yeah. It's just like, anytime you see Reva, she's always walking. Anytime you see any of the other sister, twin brother guy or whatever, and the other one, they're just walking everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of cool when Vader does it because he's like menacing and it's like he's like a tank about it. But like, I don't know, it's just like it just seems like they can't be bothered, you know.
Well, is it a menacing thing? Because that's what I was going to suggest. Like, is it to try to build menace with these characters?
Because it doesn't feel like it was them.
If I saw Reva like running down a hallway like a schoolgirl after the bell rung, clinging her books to her chest, I'd be like, that's not scary.
Yeah, but they never catch the bad guy, or not the bad guy. They never catch the Jedi, and the Jedi aren't running away either. Everyone's just like fast paced walking.
Yeah,
it's like a speed walking event.
Yeah.
Obi-Wan does his best two kids in a trench coat from BoJack Horseman. Oh,
what was that, man? That was amazing. I was like, how is nobody going like, man, that guy's real fat, but only on one side.
It was so fucking stupid.
It was ridiculous. I was like,
out like a sore thumb.
Well, and my favorite is that I like in shows like this, like it's so dumb. But I've gotten to the point where I appreciate it because of its ridiculousness, where they throw in the like, hey, audience, this is what's happening in case you're too stupid to realize, by having her like pull the side back and look real quick and then cover her face back up in case anybody at home was going, where is Leia? Like, oh, there she is. Okay. I just thought he had one real fat leg. that was pretty ridiculous, I will say. Yeah, I don't know, man. Speaking of urgency, the other thing that I thought was weird was we meet O'Shea Jackson Jr.'s character this time. And to be honest with you, I can't even remember the character name. He was the resistance guy who was like, it's too dangerous to help you,
but I'm going to help you anyway.
That's what I thought was ridiculous, was he was like, this is too dangerous to help you. We can't. There's no way. And then he was like, you've got to. And he was like, you know, my family got killed. That's why I'm going to help you. I was like, what? As a guy who runs role-playing games, if I did that in a role-playing game, everybody would just accept it as we're skipping this scene and moving the plot forward, you know, like, which is what it felt like, man. And he's a good actor too. So I was like, give that guy a little bit of shit to work with, man. Like, don't just have him. I don't know. I thought that was really, that scene was real jank to me.
Yeah, it was weird. Roken?
Yes, Roken. Yeah, I mean, I like him as an actor, too. If you're unaware, that's Ice Cube's kid.
Oh, no, I didn't know that, but I can see it now in his face.
Yeah, yeah. If you've ever seen, and I still haven't gotten to watch it, but Straight Out of Compton, he plays Ice Cube in that movie. And yeah, when you look at him, you're like, you don't, it's true. Like right up front, you're just kind of like, you don't think about it. But when you know, you're like, oh shit, yeah, he looks like Ice Cube a lot, which makes sense because he's this kid. But yeah, I didn't like that scene. That scene just felt bad to me. Like we can't help. It's too dangerous. That's why I'm going to help you. What did I fall asleep? What happened? You know, ridiculous, but. What did you think about the callbacks to Obi-Wan using the like the same underwater breathing apparatus that he used back in episode one?
Yeah.
That same scene. It was like there were a couple things that were real like, oh, remember that? I remember that.
The sea monster things? Is that what you're talking about? It's like a mer shark looking thing.
Yeah, yeah. I thought he was going to have to fight that horrific looking starfish thing that was on the inside of the door.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When that started to open, I was like, that's the scariest shit I've seen in this show. Like, yeah, it was just full of teeth and tentacles. And I was like, ah, something out of Lovecraft's wet dream. Like, Jesus Christ. And it just, but I kind of like too that it's just like, it's just a sea creature. Like, yeah, I see those all the time. Like,
yeah.
And you don't have night terror. How do you not? Although he does have night terrors in this, which by the way, is all the Disney Plus Star Wars stuff sponsored by Big Bacta? Holy
They're all
shit.
About the Bacta tanks there.
God damn. Yeah. And they're Bacta.
Big Bacta.
Big Bacta. I will fully admit, I'm not super well versed on the like extended lore of the Star Wars universe, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I do play the role playing game. And Bacta tanks, not even that good. like at least from a statistic standpoint in the game. I think it's like if you get into a Bacta tank, you heal 1 point of damage like every hour that you're in it or something, which better than just healing on your own, fully admit. A stem pack that you can jam somebody with heals like, I think, 8 points of damage. Now, and I get that that's not like long-term damage that you're healing. You're basically giving somebody a shot of like antibiotics and steroids to keep going. But back to tank, like they... Like, we're in a universe where I figured that you would have something way more effective than just like what'd you call a mer shark?
Mer shark.
Tank a mer shark semen that you just float around in for 2 days. Yeah, I'm not burnt anymore. Okay, great. You smell like death, though. Go shower. I don't know, man. It's just weird to me. And it's been every show so far. Like I will say the Mandalorian doesn't do it, but like Boba Fett, he was in the Bacta tank for a third of that show, I think. And God, then in this episode, and then in this episode, Obi-Wan and Darth were in there having like their little shared dream experience, you know?
Yeah, it was weird.
It does seem though, this is episode 4. It does seem that, like, at least so far, very little actual Hayden Christensen in this. Like, it seems like they just got him back to body Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Which is wild.
I don't know. Right? Yeah, I'm just, there's two episodes left. Is that right?
Two episodes left in this season.
I guess we'll find out if we actually get any spoken lines from him, but it kind of seems like he was just the body.
Yeah. I mean, that's wild, man, to like get that guy back. I mean, he's good. I mean, again, they're killing it with Darth Vader in this. He feels menacing as hell.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the Darth Vader stuff a lot.
Yeah. I mean, again, I would probably watch a Darth Vader show. And mm-hmm. as long as you didn't try to make him some tragic, you just make him a bad guy, like just a bad guy. I would watch the hell out of that. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's crazy. And if people were like, well, bad guys, telling stuff, The Boys seems to be doing okay on Amazon Prime. You know, mm-hmm. that show is killing it. That show just got renewed for a fourth season already.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you watch that show?
I don't. No, I watched most of the first season, but man, it's too dark for me.
It might be.
It's depressing as hell.
It is very depressing. It is there is a scene, we won't get into it now. There's a scene this season that I'll tell you about off pod. And there's a couple scenes in the first three episodes, which all drop at the same time. One is gross and disgusting. The other one is kind of gross and disgusting, but also like kind of fucked with me mentally. And I was like, ugh, okay. But anyway, so I think though that you can make a compelling story centered on a bad guy, you sure. know,
yeah.
Because even on The Boys, the good guys are kind of bad guys, you know? So, I think it's doable. I would just love to, I would have loved to seen Boba Fett be that. So I would love to see a Darth Vader series, you know, mm-hmm. Vader it up, man. Speaking of bad guys, we saw Obi-Wan enter the crypt of the Jedi
mm-hmm.
station or wherever they were, you know, that like temple thing. They called it just like a station, but it felt like a temple. It felt like there was all kinds of weird shit going on there. But what about that, man? That was fairly dark to have a youngling in there.
Yeah, you know? That was pretty dark.
God damn.
I was reading about it because like you know, a lot of other people who watched this episode, I was wondering if any of the Jedi who are in this scene are people from the Star Wars universe that are like, oh, well, you know, we're just kind of confirming that they were a real thing and they're now dead.
Yeah.
And there was a Gizmodo article about it. And some guy was talking about how, like, if you're one of those people who's looking for your Glup Shitto, he's probably in this scene.
Glup Shitto. There he is.
So. There is one guy that the camera lingers on for just a little bit too long, and it's just enough to where like people got clear screenshots of it, and it appears to be a character called Tara Sanube,
okay,
who's a Jedi Master from Coruscant, I believe. He was in the Clone Wars series.
Okay, is it the real old guy?
It's the old looking one with like braids on the sides of his head.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like frail looking. He is a Kenosian, which is supposed to be a reptilian type race. They have hair for some reason.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. That got me thinking though. Padawans are supposed to have the Padawan learner braid.
Right.
To indicate their status within the Jedi Order. But not all aliens have hair.
Oh, yeah.
So I was looking at like there were exceptions for that for a species that doesn't have hair who's a Padawan. They wear something called silka beads.
Really?
Yeah, there's screenshots of Ahsoka Tano with silka beads on her head.
Oh man, cool that they've actually gone, oh wait, we've implemented something that we now can't do with everybody.
Exactly. Yeah.
Interesting.
It seems that they came up with a solution for that.
Yeah, silka beads, huh?
Mm-hmm. It just looks like a string of long beads, like ornamental beads.
Awesome. And then the same thing, it gets taken when you become a Jedi?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. That's good to know because we haven't played in a while, but in my Star Wars RPG, my character was training to be a Jedi, but never became one, but he's a Gungan.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Then he would probably have silka beads.
Yeah. He's probably got them like in his stuff. I'll just have to at some point bust that out so that the guys think that I'm a real fan. Do you even That's have funny. Silka beads, bro? # fake fan. Sorry.
Yeah, that's your Padawan braid when you don't have hair.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
I did look that up. Yeah, but so Tara Sanube, I had to look up how to say his name because it's spelled Sinube.
Sinube.
I was like, is it Sinube? Or
Sinube.
Sinube.
Sinube. Sinube.
I would have guessed Sinube too, but it's Sanube.
Sanube. So there's an accent on the E.
Mm-hmm. No visible accent, but it's said that way.
Yeah, it's an accent made by the Force.
Mm-hmm.
No, interesting. Okay. Yeah, I thought that was weird, though, because they also... So one of the Easter egg-y type videos I watched, I think it was on Screen Rant, they talked about how... I don't know that these people are dead so much as they're like kind of in suspended state so that they could like pull their DNA out to study them or something.
See, that's what I thought,
which to me feels way worse.
Yeah. I thought that it was sort of like a carbonite type situation.
Yeah.
Cause it almost looks like amber.
Yeah, it does.
You know,
yeah.
Like when you find amber encased insects and stuff from the prehistoric era.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it looked like to me.
They're going to pull their DNA out and make a park where you can visit recreations of Jedi.
One of the things I thought was kind of silly about that Terra Sanube character is that his lightsaber is actually a cane.
Really?
Yeah.
It's like a sword cane, but with a lightsaber.
Like a sword cane, but with a lightsaber.
Yeah. Feels kind of gross. Like, so the hilt is the handle is the full cane?
No, that's what I was wondering. It looks like it's two separate pieces.
Oh,
like
okay.
The top comes off and is the hilt of a lightsaber.
All right. Cause I was going to say, if the full cane still is in use, how much lightsaber actually comes out of the end of it? It's going to look like a fucking dog with a boner. Red Rocket.
Here we go. I'll never forget my wife and I, she'd never had a dog before. She always wanted one. So when we moved in together, I bought her a dog and he's still around. He's still kicking. He's just really old.
Yeah. He's 47, right? In human years. He's the oldest dog I've ever seen.
He's like 16 now, I think.
Holy cow.
Yeah. He's old. He's old and he's blind. But anyway, when we first got him, he, you know, like most dogs do, was sitting there and just had a random erection one day, and she started squealing and screaming, and she was like, "What's wrong with him?" I could not stop laughing. I was like, it's his penis. That's just what it looks like.
Yeah. Oh, nothing's wrong with him right now. He's doing fine.
He seems pretty happy to me.
Yeah. Pig and shit, man. That's funny. What's happening to him? You should have played into it. Like, I don't know. I've never heard of that before.
Yeah.
Looks like he fell down and ran something into his belly. Oh, man. That's funny, though. That's funny shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, Obi-Wan, he got his groove back a little bit in this episode, though.
Yeah. It looks like he's starting to slowly reconnect with the Force.
Yeah. He did the... you know, he did the Moses thing and killed the Egyptians coming after them.
Yep. That's exactly what I was thinking.
You know, that's how Moses did it. Back in the Bible.
Back in the Bible. The Holy Bible.
Back in the Bible. Bible Old Testament. My favorite Jedi. He's best friends with Glup Shitto. Oh, man.
Shit.
Anyway, I mean, he was holding back like what I could only imagine was tons of water pushing on that glass.
Oh, yeah. Easily.
Yeah. I mean, so, hey, good on him, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's getting his groove back a little bit. Also, how, though, did Reva not know that Leia's like Force sensitive? Because she was trying to break into her mind and she was just like, "You've got a strong will." I'm like, "You should know. You should be like, oh, you're fucking Jedi. Kill her." Mm-hmm. You know, or fucking Force sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't, man. I mean, I guess maybe she's blinded by her ambition to prove herself to Vader by catching Obi-Wan, you know?
Right.
Oh, dude, I thought Vader was going to just end her when he lifted her up into the air.
Yeah, me too.
Again, they're doing such a great job at making him menacing. Like, the door slid open and she started moving up. Like, he didn't even stop to talk at all. He was just like, "Now, fuck, you're dead, lady." You know?
Yeah. Like, you think she's going to be dead by the end of this?
I don't know, man. Maybe. I mean, there's a lot of neckbeards out there that are hoping so.
I know.
This poor lady is getting the actor Moses Ingram. The poor lady is getting assaulted verbally online. So if you're one of those people doing that, you know, go stick a needle in your eye or something, you dumb piece of shit. Like, not everybody has to be an old white British man to be in Star Wars. Like, I don't know. People drive me fucking crazy, man.
They put Moses Ingram in there. They should have brought back Glup Shitto.
Glup Shitto. Do you think that's why they did the hallway drowning thing? Because her name is Moses?
Those guys drowned awful quick, right?
They were floating. They weren't even trying to swim. I think I would have swam for the surface.
Yeah. I feel like, I don't know, man. They were like, they got on the other side of that door and all of a sudden there's just floating bodies there. And I was like,
Come on.
Would they die that quick?
Yeah. I don't know.
Is it the pressure, maybe?
Maybe the pressure. Although he swam all the way down.
He sure did.
He came in at the base of the temple. So I can't imagine the pressure is that great. Maybe it was just, I mean, you got to think at least with the stormtroopers, maybe it just like, they have a ventilation system in those suits, maybe. And so once it gets flooded, like, you just drown very quickly. Like, you don't have an option to hold your breath or anything. But
yeah,
I thought the same thing. I was like, that door closed. You just see the like lifeless mannequins floating on the other side. And I was just like, oh, yeah, that happened real fast.
Yeah.
Like, I think it would have been more impactful if you would have seen him like struggling, trying to swim against the current to get out and like unsuccessfully. Like, maybe they didn't want to make Obi-Wan seem like that bad of a guy. Like, oh, look, he just drowned all those people, you know, like a sociopath with a puppy. Like, fuck. They are Nazi puppies, though. Space Nazis. So that's OK.
That's true.
You know, if my puppy was a Nazi, I would drown that fucker quick. Oh man. But no, I overall, man, I mean, I'm still liking it. The thing that I've realized, and I realized it with this episode especially, is the reason I like this more than Boba Fett, in my mind, it occurred to me, this feels like what I imagine Star Wars to be.
Yeah.
This feels like a Star War is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Boba Fett did not. At
no,
all.
It didn't.
You know, it did not feel like it felt it, like it didn't feel like it fit in that universe.
No, it was weird because it was like it felt more like a weird side story that's like happening with like local politics. And like, I don't care about that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like episode 3 is Boba Fett trying to get a 4-way stop at a dangerous intersection.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? like, I don't give a shit, you know, I can't be bothered. Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm really still sad about that show because I thought if they would have done some cool bounty hunter shit, I would have been totally on board. I would have been, again, a bad guy show. I would have been sold out, you know?
I was not on board to begin with, and in that area, I was not let down. It was total shit show.
But yeah, I mean, I'm still digging this, man. I'm looking forward to seeing the 5 and 6. I think it's compelling. It's a compelling story. The other thing that they brought up on Screen Crush that did make me laugh a little bit is like they were like in episode 4 when Vader captures Leia, you know, Carrie Fisher is just like, only you would be so bold, Lord. Like, she's not scared at all. Right.
Right.
And they're like, well, now we know why this has been going on her whole life.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Like, it's just like, oh, you've been captured. Yeah. It's Tuesday. Might as well. You know, like, I was like, that's kind of fun. That kind of gives you a little bit of an understanding at least, like, yeah, okay. So she's just used to it. So I kind of like that. The other thing that they mentioned and Ryan Airy said, it wasn't even him. I think it was the guy who edits their videos pointed it out. Is that, yeah, go watch the Screen Crush on this week's Easter eggs for Obi-Wan if you're listening. It's really good. But one of the things they pointed out is so far, every episode of Obi-Wan has sort of parodied or mirrored a Star Wars movie. And I was like, oh, yeah, I kind of see that. So, you know, they were talking like, and they get into it. I'm definitely not going to do it justice. But basically, like, you know, episode 3, there was a fight between Anakin and Obi-Wan, and one of them ends up getting burnt really badly. And it goes way deeper than that also, you know. But I mean, it's like 1 through 4 so far have sort of parodied episodes 1 through 4 in the movies so far. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of interesting, you know. I don't know if they're doing it on purpose, but it is kind of cool. And maybe that's the reason it feels familiar and comfortable to me, you know, is like, it's sort of a mini retelling of those, like, not retelling, but sort of a mini similar feel, you know. But yeah, he brought that up and I was like, yeah, that's pretty cool. So anyway, yeah, I don't know, man. I'm digging this. I was trying to think if there was anything else that really jumped out at me in this episode. I don't know that there is.
No, I don't think there's anything else really.
So you still on board? Still liking it more than Boba Fett?
I definitely like it more than Boba Fett. It's all right. It's not bad.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I'm still digging it.
But I'm not like head over heels about it.
Right on. Right on. Yeah. Yeah. Again, I still don't think it feels as awesome as The Mandalorian does to me. And so, cause I really like that series. All right, cool. Well, let's not do a hard shift cause it's the same company, but let's do a slight shift over into the world of superheroes, superheroics. Yeah. And talk about Marvel's new entry into the MCU that dropped this week, Ms. Marvel, episode 1. Yeah, so hot take, what'd you think of this?
I kind of liked it.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know that it's like something that I'm like super jazzed about. It, part of it is because like of the two shows that we're talking about here, this is definitely the one that seems more geared towards a family audience.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yep.
Yeah. So some of the stuff feels kind of dumbed down, a little bit more family friendly. Nothing incredibly dark has happened yet. So based on the tone, I don't foresee anything crazy dark happening.
Okay.
I like the characters. Kamala Khan's interesting. She's very like young, teenage, kind of ambitious YouTuber sort of situation.
Yeah.
She's into cosplay. Her best friend is just a dork and a nerd.
Yeah.
I'm used to playing that role myself.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like crazy smart though. Like he's into inventing things and building things. And
he's like a little Tony Stark.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know anything about that character. I don't know if he's new or if he's based on a comic book person.
He is in the Ms. Marvel comics. He is her best friend. Same exact role.
Does
Bruno is her friend that works at the Circle Q in the comics.
Okay.
And the one thing in the comics about him that we haven't seen yet in the show, but we're obviously one episode in, he has a brother who is a low rent wannabe criminal, essentially. Okay. Because he just has these big ambitions and he's like, hey, we need money to do this. And so like, he tries to rob the Circle Q at one point, you know, and he's like, I know it's you behind the mask. Like I recognize your voice. We're brothers, you know, like you dumbass. And so we haven't seen that character yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if we do.
Okay. Okay. Does he become a superhero of some sort?
I don't believe now. I've only read the like intro series. But I don't believe that Bruno does become a superhero. I don't think so.
Okay. So other than that, other aspects of the show felt very much like Spider-Man.
Yep.
It has a very Spider-Man-y feel to it. She's fun because she has kind of like that head in the clouds kind of thing. And it's sort of exemplified on the screen, you know, in the form of cartoons and things like that are happening in the background.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. It felt Spider-Man-y, but it also felt like very Scott Pilgrim to me.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I could see that too. But other than that, like, it's not really grabbing my attention.
Oh, really? It's not interesting.
Yeah. It's not bad. But it's not like if we weren't watching this for the podcast, I don't know that I would continue watching it.
Really? Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It just didn't. The first episode really didn't get my attention that much. It's cute.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay.
You know, and I'm sort of the same way with Obi-Wan, but that's mainly because it's a Star Wars property and I'm really burned out on Star Wars.
Right. Right.
Like it's getting up there with zombies for me. Like,
oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
Like if they did a fucking Star Wars zombie genre, I would just lose my fucking mind.
Oh my God. Dude, I think you've just created something epic.
Yeah. No, no, thank you.
Yeah. According to Marvel's database, Bruno possesses an exceptional degree of intellect with an IQ of 170, but no other powers or anything.
Mm, okay.
Yeah. So I will fully admit I liked Ms. Marvel more than I thought I was going to.
Okay.
I thought I was going to be sort of lukewarm on it, but the fact that they're doing it doesn't feel like anything else that the MCU has done so far. And so it feels like, the MCU has sort of taken this stance of, we're not setting out to make just superhero movies. We're going to delve into all these different genres and with a superhero filter on it. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. So you think of like the Ant-Man movies, they feel very much like a heist movie. And I know they don't feel exactly like a heist movie, so don't at me, but you know, they feel very like a heist movie just with superpowers over top of it. Or, you know, you look at, I know you haven't seen it yet, but like the Multiverse of Madness, it's not a straight up horror movie, but it feels like a kind of a kitschy Sam Raimi, silly horror movie, just with superpowers on top of it. You know,
all right.
You look at like, I'm trying to think what some others are that sort of felt that way. I mean, you look at like, Captain America and the Winter Soldier, or the Winter Soldier, it sort of had some political intrigue and some, you know, sort of like an enemy of the state or, you know, Bourne type movie, but with superpowers on top of it. And so this to me feels like they're doing kind of that sort of that Scott Pilgrim-y kind of a like a silly teenage thing, but with like fantasy mixed with reality, because the main character is a daydreamer who's always thinking about what they'd rather be doing, just with superpowers on top of it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And Scott Pilgrim is probably a bad example because that's like based in a comic or like in a video game world, basically. But you know what I mean? Like it's sort of one of those one. It's but it feels so different than what anything they've done in the MCU that I kind of was refreshed by it a little bit. Like I was kind of like, OK, this is just this girl who's dealing with some family drama and like, you know, but like not but like family drama in the way that like as an adult, you watch it and you go, that's not really drama. But as a teenager, you could see how like, oh man, her parents are so overbearing. This is ridiculous. You know what I mean? Like it has that kind of feel and it's a little bit refreshing to me. I actually really liked it. I didn't even, at least so far, now we didn't see a ton of her powers in this first episode, but I didn't mind the power change as much because it's not even that huge of a change so far. We know that it's definitely the power set itself is different, but it sort of sticks to a lot of the beats of the comic, you know, in the comic series. And they sort of reference a lot of the comic even in this first episode. So like in the comic series, Zoe, the kind of mean girl at her school, ends up falling into like the Hudson River and she saves her. She stretches her hand and makes it really big and scoops her out of the river. And so that sort of parallels how she saved her at Avengers Con, you know, by making the big arm and hand that kind of caught her. And so I don't know, man, I'm digging that. Like I'm like, okay. And it seems really focused on the character and her kind of trying to discover who she is and like how much she wants to fit in versus how much she wants to be herself. And like, it feels like that. And honestly, we talked about crazy Ezra Miller. It feels like the Perks of Becoming a Wallflower or of being a wallflower, the Perks of Being a Wallflower, that movie where it's like, how much do I want to fit in versus how much do I want to be myself and people just have to take or leave me for who I am. I like that. Hopefully it's not quite as dark as that movie, but if you've never seen it, it has some dark twists and turns in it.
I read the book.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, the closest we've seen is in the Spider-Man movies. He's a kid trying to figure this all out. And right, I think that's why I like the Spider-Man movies so much. And this smacks of that, but it also gives us this kind of daydreamy, like I really love the stylistic choices with like
the stylistic choices are great.
Yeah, with like her and Bruno texting and their text message just appearing in the scenery.
You know,
that was so fun. Yeah, go on. So what else, man?
So stylistically, it's beautiful. I mean, not only did they like do those interesting things where like a side conversation through text message and stuff is actually becoming part of the background of the show, but like it's full of so much vibrant color. It really like I like a lot of it. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of this stuff. I really like. There's a lot of great stylistic choices. There's a lot of like the story so far is not bad. It's just not really normally my thing. So I'm not like super jazzed about it, but like there's things about it that, so like I know her power set is not only different, but doesn't her power origin, isn't her power origin story different too?
Yes. Yeah. So
it doesn't come from a bracelet.
Yeah. It doesn't come from a bracelet. In the comics, there's a war going on, and Black Bolt basically is like, we need more Inhumans. So he releases like a Terrigen bomb on Earth that just floods the Earth with these Terrigen mist so that it will activate the powers of anybody who carries the Inhuman gene.
Oh, okay.
And that's what happens. She gets caught up in that. She, as per with like Inhumans, in this, it definitely seems to be a bracelet. So the one thing that I did think is that like the bracelet comes from her grandmother, right?
Yeah.
The bangle. Mm-hmm. And her mom is like, that's junk. And seems like she doesn't want her to have it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure we'll see more of what the story is there, but it seems like she might be aware of what it does.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. That's kind of what I was thinking. And so I wonder if it is going to tie into like, well, genetically we come from something that we don't really know. And this thing will give you, you know what I mean? So they may try to tie the Inhuman in with that.
So like maybe like the bangle like is mystical and amplifies the Inhuman gene or something.
Yeah. Or something to that effect. I'm kind of wondering that. The other thing I was kind of thinking too is, at the end, and a couple of videos I watched on this pointed this out. So did you watch through and see the like tag scene?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I just happened to leave it running. I didn't think there was going to be one, but yeah, I did. So who are those cops? Or are they part of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
So they're part of the Department of Damage Control.
Okay.
Which if you remember, that guy was in the most recent Spider-Man.
I don't remember that. No.
Okay. He was the guy that like brought Peter in and was talking to him, you know, and Peter was like Nick Fury can vouch for me with the whole Mysterio thing. And he's like, Nick Fury's been off planet for a year, you know, that was him. Right. That's Agent Cleary. And okay. So a prevailing theory with the upcoming secret invasion and all that stuff, one of the theories out there is that Agent Cleary might be a Skrull also.
Okay.
Because people were like, how would he know that Nick Fury's been off planet unless he was a Skrull that was working with Talos and the Skrull that took Nick Fury's place, you know? And so the thing that these videos mentioned, and I went back and watched it, at the end, when the other agent brings him the phone and with the footage of Avengers Con, and she says, I've never seen powers like this. And he was like, me neither. Bring her in. And then he sort of lingered for a second and gave a look like, I have seen those powers before.
Yeah.
If they come, the Inhumans in the comics were originally created. I think they're somehow related. They were created by, the same Celestials that created like the Eternals and things like that, but they're related to the Kree race, right?
Okay.
And in the comics, the Kree and Skrulls are at war constantly. And we saw that in Captain Marvel as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
The look he gives, it sort of would make sense if he is a Skrull that he's like, oh, I've seen these powers before. They're Kree in origin or they're Kree-like.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I'm like, okay. That might be where the tie is, you know, that it's like,
yeah,
they're Kree-like. And then that leads to like, well, the Inhumans are sort of an offshoot of the Kree or something to that effect. And still ties us into the MCU. I don't know. I'm interested to see.
Do you think it's going down the path of an Inhuman situation, or do you think that they're tying it in with the alien races and just saying that it's alien tech?
So I would have said 100% that I would have thought it was alien related, not Inhuman. There's been a couple things recently that make me think it could be Inhuman.
Okay.
I don't want to get into it too much because it's mentioned in Multiverse of Madness and it ruins something if I talk about it for you.
Okay.
So I don't really want to get into it too much, but I think that they might tie it in, or this might be the introduction, you know, or something, and say, well, they're related to the Kree, but they're actually these other people, you know? Yeah. So okay. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much. I know that you've gotten some Multiverse of Madness stuff spoiled, unfortunately.
But unfortunately, yes.
I don't know how much. And so I don't want to ruin something if you haven't gotten it spoiled yet.
No,
you know?
I haven't. I think the majority of it I'm still pretty unclear on.
Okay,
it does hit Disney Plus in just a little bit more than a week.
Yeah, like 10 days, I think, right?
Yeah, something like that.
So yeah, so once you watch it, yeah, we'll wax intellectual about that a little bit more.
Okay. But
I can't wait to see it again. I enjoyed it. I like I said, I love Sam Raimi stuff, so it felt very on brand for him. So I can't wait to watch it again. But anyway, so I don't know, man. I think that they might go that route with it. It's hard to say at this point, but like the other thing that I thought was funny is like very early on when it's showing all of her drawings and stuff that she has all around her room, there's a picture of a cockatiel with question marks on it that she had drawn, right?
Okay.
I think we've talked about this, but I don't know if we have. One of her major villains early on in her run is a character called the Inventor. Have we talked about the Inventor at all?
Oh yeah, the bird thing.
Yeah,
we did.
The clone of Thomas Edison that has cockatiel DNA spliced in, so he's like a big anthropomorphic cockatiel, and he's a bad guy.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I really kind of want to see that.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I said the same thing to my family. I go, I don't think they'll do it because that's so weird.
It's kind of camp.
Yeah, I kind of want them to.
I do too.
He's not in the comics long. He dies in the comics after just a few issues, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
They could do it. And, you know, there are little hints that might be the thing. The cockatiel picture, obviously. But then also when her and Bruno are sitting on the roof talking, the neon sign in the back behind them is for Edison Electric.
Oh.
And so I was like, okay. Interesting. I don't know if those are just little Easter eggs to again go, like, things are going to be different than the comic, but we know what goes on in the comic. So don't think that we're not fans, you know, like,
right.
We just can't do this. So I don't know, man. I mean, I think that would be really cool if they did something with that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of funny, but I will tell you a funny story. So her mom calls her mom refers to a lot of the kids in this as beta, right?
Mm-hmm.
And which is a nerdy word, and meaning I think it, when we tried to look it up, I think it means like my son, but you know, it may just mean child or something like that, right?
Yeah.
But so I made the joke to my daughter. I go, I like how alpha her mom is, that she's just referring to them as beta to put them in their place. And so then I tried to use translate on my Google Translate. And so I tried to say it, and I said, Google, what is the translation for the Urdu word beta? And it came back and said, come on, my father. I was like, Jesus Christ. I was like, oh my God, I obviously said that incorrectly. And I'm sure it meant like a phrase saying like, oh, come on, dad. But the way it said it, it was like that robotic voice, like, come on, my father. I was like, yeah. Oh my God. I was like, that escalated quickly. But anyway, I digress. I thought that was funny. That I immediately did something and was like, oh no. So what did you think about the Avengers Con thing? Like that whole sequence?
I mean, it was kind of goofy, but it does seem like this has become so prevalent in their universe that like something that would probably happen.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, and yeah. I don't know how closely you looked at any of the stuff that was going down at the Avengers Con, but like they had a booth that was like stuff the Hulk has smashed. And it was just things. Like at one point in one scene, you can see there's a refrigerator with a big giant handprint wedged like smashed into it.
That's funny.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, that's the kind of shit you would get at a convention like this, right? Like, yeah, it'd just be like, hey, there was a battle and the Hulk was there, and then I found this afterwards. Like, it's a bumper crumpled up, you know?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what else there was. There was the Asgard tours that you could buy. You could get a tour of New Asgard, you know, which we've seen in the trailer for Thor. There seems to be, like, cruise ships right outside of New Asgard, so... Must be a popular tourist destination now.
That's funny.
Yeah, there was all that kind of fun stuff. I like the big giant Ant-Man that plays into the one scene, like how they did the New York Ferry, like diorama kind of him that you could get your picture with and stuff. I thought that was kind of fun. Oh, speaking of the action scene there, that hammer would have totally killed Zoe, right?
Oh, for sure.
I mean, that thing hit her like a car.
Yeah, it was like a wrecking ball.
Yeah, I was like, even if it was made of foam, I feel like that would have crushed her chest in.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know that she would have been able to react enough to be able to grab onto it like that.
Right, right.
I feel like it just would have plowed into her and knocked her a good 20 feet.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So I do like her family dynamic too, you know?
Yeah.
I saw a couple videos say this and I wholeheartedly agree. Like, I get that as a teenager going somewhere like that with your dad is kind of embarrassing, but could you imagine having a parent that was that into what, or like willing to be that into whatever you were into, you know, like he put the face paint on the day before the convention,
right?
You know, to like show her how much fun they were going to have together. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's, and then she like, oh, it was so sad. She like breaks his heart, you know, like she's like, that's so embarrassing. No. And he's like, he just walks out so dejected. And I'm like, oh my God, like he's trying so hard here, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was kind of sad. Also, I do like the family dynamic though, that her dad is not, it kind of turns everything on the head, on its head. And I remember this reading the comic, that the dad is not the overly religious stern one. Her older brother is, you know, right. The dad is more of like, yeah, you don't really have to look in your mirrors while you're driving. It's like, no, you absolutely do. You know, like her dad is kind of the like fast and loose guy. And her older brother's the really devout one, you know, and then her mom seems sort of strict, but like in that kind of just, I'm a mom, I'm trying to protect my kid kind of way, you know?
Right. Yeah.
I don't know, man. I liked so much about this. Like every character I thought did a great job. I mean, especially her, for this being her first acting gig, like she was on point, man.
Yeah, she did a good job. Yeah, it's not bad. It's not a bad show.
Yeah.
I mean, I did enjoy it. It's just not really normally my thing. I'm hoping that changes. Maybe I develop more of a taste for this character, but it's not bad at all. No, I'm really disappointed with like the online reaction to it. I mean, but that was expected still, you know?
Yeah. I haven't even really looked at that. Are people being typical? Like
they're being typical. Yeah. Okay. I think I sent you screenshots of a Facebook group that's grown in popularity recently.
Oh yes, you did send me that. Yeah. The Christians against
Miss Marvel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I forgot about it. Cause I scrolled past it to your wet ham, Mitch McConnell.
Yeah. I did another one of those on Dolly. It was a courtroom sketch of Cthulhu being tried for tax evasion.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did it come out pretty good?
Yeah, they were pretty good.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. Cause so the screenshot you sent me was Ms. Marvel might be the biggest slap in the face for conservative Christians to date. Disney has decided that the face of this franchise should not be Carol Danvers, but should instead be a gay Muslim. Who I don't think she's gay, first of all.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
No more straight Christian characters from you know what? I might even go so far as to say that the biggest slap in the face to date for conservative Christians is that their thoughts and prayers are being largely ignored by God and kids continue to be shot and killed in classrooms. So, you know.
Weird. It's almost like that doesn't work.
Yeah, it's almost like it's useless. That's what I said. I was telling, so I wanted to post on Facebook because I have friends that I know from like church or elsewhere that are, you know, posting stuff. And I'm like, I kind of want to post, but I don't want to start a shit storm just to start a shit storm and be like, you know, one of two things is going on here. Either the thoughts and prayers are not working or God actively hears them and thinks that all of you ultra conservative Christians are as much of an asshole as the rest of us do. And so he's purposely doing the opposite. I don't know, man. It's just fucking annoying when people do shit like that. Yeah. Christians against Miss Marvel. You gotta be fucking kidding me. I don't know. Anyway, before I get on a 45 minute soapbox about people's ignorance. The last thing I really wanted to talk about in the show that I really liked was that we found out because, and it's so funny because a couple videos I've watched too have said like for, you know, months now and years, we've been kind of asking like, how does the general populace know about what happened in things like Infinity War and Endgame? You know, like, because people seem to have kind of this general knowledge and they really shouldn't because like nobody was there to film or whatever. And then in one like little throwaway thing at the beginning of this episode, we find out one possible way that that might happen. And that's that Scott Lang has a podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that.
Which I love, called Big Me, Little Me.
It's hilarious.
Where I'm guessing that he interviews other heroes or talks about his experiences or... I love it, man. I love the fact that, especially because you got Paul Rudd, you could take a guy like that and he's totally believable that he would be doing something like this, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you noticed too that the Big Me, Little Me podcast is part of This Powered Life, and it's essentially the exact same logo as This American Life.
Is it? That's funny.
Yeah, which I thought was really funny. But anyway, yeah, I don't know, man. I just, they said that, and I didn't really think about it. When I saw it, I was just kind of like, oh, funny, it's an Ant-Man podcast. But then, you know, they were like, that would explain how the general populace knows about, like, the battle, like details for the Battle of New York and, you know, like, things that happened in that final battle in Endgame. And, you know, and I was like, that's funny that that would be. And then somebody even pointed out, they're like, that might also be why Ant-Man is in the Steve Rogers musical at the first fight for New York, which he wasn't in real life. Is like, it might just be Scott Lang talking about it. And people are like, I think Ant-Man was there. You know, like, I'm like, that's amazing. Like, that's I love that little shit like that, that they've kind of sprinkled throughout this really, really just made me happy, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. I'm really on board. Like I said, I like this way more than I thought I was going to. And I think it's because it's just something different, which is what I'm really hoping for with She-Hulk too. I think the fact that it's going to be more comedic take on like a courtroom serial, I think it trying new things really gets me, kind of reinvigorates me for the MCU. You know, when you just follow the same formula time and time again, I think that's where people start to hit the fatigue thing, you know,
right,
where they're like, nah, this, I've seen it, been there, done that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm all about this so far. I can't wait for next Wednesday to hit drop so I can see the next one. So I don't know anything else about Kamala Khan or Ms. Marvel that's pinging your Spidey sense.
No, not right now.
All right, man. Well, hey, yeah, I'm excited. And who knows? We know she's coming in the Marvels. I'm kind of curious if we're going to get any kind of cameo by either Photon or Captain Marvel, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. I'm still on board with this. I'm pumped for it. I am. I'm interested to see where it goes.
Yep.
Right on. Okay. Well, if nothing else, like, we'll be covering the next episodes of these two shows here in about a week for you.
Yeah.
We'll dig in a little more. Hopefully we'll have some more info on Ms. Marvel, and hopefully we'll have some satisfying run up to conclusion for Obi-Wan.
Probably not, but you know.
Yeah. If anything from Disney Plus has taught us, it's that we will not have any idea on how they're going to wrap it all up in one episode by the time we get done with five. That seems fair. Right on. All right, man. Well, I'll talk to you later.
Later.
Greeting the Nerd was recorded and produced by Zach Boyd and Tim Witham in Dayton, Ohio. If you liked our show, subscribe, rate, share, and review on Apple Podcasts or other platforms. For questions, comments, or ideas, drop us an email at gratingthenerdpodcast@gmail.com. As always, Anchor members can send us a voicemail. Our theme music was composed by Kevin MacLeod. You can find all of his credits and links in our show notes. Come back for more, and we'll see you next time on Grading the Nerd.